Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, and welcome to Dyslexia Devoted, the podcast dedicated to building awareness, understanding, and strategies to help those with dyslexia. I'm your host, Lisa Parnello, dyslexia therapist and founder of Parnello Education Services. Join me as we dive into today's episode of Dyslexia Devoted. Hello, and welcome to episode 97 of Dyslexia Devoted. This week, this is actually the second recording I've done, although the first one you won't get to listen to for a while. I'm doing a back-to-school summit with some other educators, and so that will be coming out very soon for you guys, so I'll give you all the details when it comes up. Or if you join the Dyslexia Devoted newsletter at parnelloeducation.com/email, then you will get notified straight to your inbox, because remember, anybody on the Dyslexia Devoted newsletter gets access to everything before everybody else. I have a few different collaborations I'm doing this summer, especially for those of you who are educators. So be on the lookout for some updates on that coming real soon. So jumping into episode number 97, how young can a child get diagnosed with dyslexia? This is something I get asked a lot because there's a lot of misconceptions about dyslexia, and there's a difference between where a child gets their diagnosis also that ends up kind of determining when they can get diagnosed with dyslexia. So the short answer is I've had clients come to me who've been diagnosed as early as late kindergarten, early first grade. Now, that may come as a surprise to you because I've had a lot of people think that you can't diagnose dyslexia till at least second grade. Well, there's a reason that comes up, and it doesn't actually have anything to do with dyslexia. It has everything to do with the school system and the way special education works. If you are a longtime listener, you may have heard this before, but if you're newer, you may not. There is a very big difference between having a learning difference and having a learning difference that qualifies for an IEP at school. You only qualify for services under an IEP at school if your learning difference is severe enough to impact their ability to show up within the average range on school assessments. And average range is real wide, just in case you're wondering. The bar is set real low as to what counts as average. So what happens with this is that typically a lot of schools don't diagnose a kid with a learning difference that qualifies for services at school unless they're about 2 years behind. And this is where second grade comes along. Because if you're a kindergartner, 2 years behind is like preschool. So you don't really have to be able to do much to be within the average range as a kindergartner. Same thing with first grade. It's hard to show that you are significantly behind when you're only in first grade because you don't learn a whole lot by the middle of first grade. So it doesn't really take much to be within the average range of first grade. You have to be utterly failing miserably in order to qualify by first grade. Usually it is kids with more significant learning differences that end up qualifying at such young ages at a public school. Typically in the younger grades, what you will see is kids with more severe disabilities get diagnosed when they're younger because it's very apparent. So things like when a kid has Down syndrome, where it's a very obvious thing, or a kid with autism, or some of these other more significant delays, then it's really obvious that this child is definitely going to qualify for services no matter what, because it is very clear. Versus a kid with dyslexia, especially since many kids with dyslexia have average or above average intelligence, they can fly under the radar for so long because they have enough other coping strategies to fall within the normal range. Now, when I say that kids can be diagnosed with a learning difference as early as kinder and first grade, that's because if you get a private evaluation, they are evaluating your child against standard norms for children of that age group without a certain minimum threshold of where they have to be. When doing a private evaluation, oftentimes called a neuropsych. Those ones are more detailed and they can measure slightly different things and it can come with more of that medical diagnosis using the DSM, which is the diagnostic of, I used to know. I'm sorry. I'm tired. It's quite early in the morning, actually, when I'm recording this. Either way, DSM-5 is the manual that says all of the different kinds of clinical diagnoses you can have. Anyway, if somebody is doing a neuropsych evaluation at a younger age, they can catch some of the things a lot earlier than what will count on a public school IEP kind of evaluation. The psychoed, which is psychoeducational is the proper term, is what you guys get at a public school IEP meeting. A neuropsych is done by a neuropsychologist that has more advanced training, and often it costs more, you've been warned, and they test for slightly different things and go more in depth. They can give the diagnosis of having a learning difference at a much younger age. And the difference being, you can have a diagnosis of a learning difference, but also not qualify for an IEP and special education services at school. And this is where people get a little bit stuck, is they go through the IEP process, they do all the testing, and the testing says, nope, you don't qualify for an IEP. And families assume that child does not have a learning difference, when really, all it means is that child does not have a learning difference severe enough that the school is required to use state funding to support their education. And this is very sadly how the wait-to-fail approach ends up coming into play. Sometimes a child will not qualify for an IEP if you push for it when they're really young, such as being a first grader, because they're not far enough behind. However, that same child might qualify for services as a fourth grader because now the gap has widened between what that child can do and what other children of their age group can do. And it is much more apparent on the school testing that that child does have a learning difference that does qualify for services. Yes, it is a broken system. I completely agree. There's a reason I have not taught in a public school in many, many years. In fact, when I was teaching in a public school, we were actually told we were not allowed to tell parents we thought a child had a learning difference and should get tested. Because if we did that, then we were required to pay for the testing to do it. And if you teach in a very poor school, they don't want to volunteer to pay for more testing than they need to. And I was teaching in a very inner city, very poor kind of school. We had very little funding and a whole lot of kids and a lot of crazy bureaucratic laws at that time because I was not teaching in California. I was in another state. And there were some wacky things going on and they were not about to be spending money on things they didn't have to. Now, the big thing is, what happens during those years when you know a child is struggling, but they don't qualify for an IEP, then what? This is where a lot of families will choose to get a private diagnosis, and sometimes they can use that and bring it back to the school and say, hey, we actually have a diagnosis. We've already done the testing. Now will you provide some help? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Honestly, it is one of those things where you kind of have to pick your battles. A lot of families, I tell them it is much better just to go ahead and get the interventions than fight the battles with the school systems. And it's very hard to say that to them sometimes, because sometimes they're like, well, we should hire a lawyer and we want to do all these things because they should be helping my child. But the thing is, it takes literal years to win these battles sometimes. And when a child is really young, that is the best time to get them interventions. So all of the money you spend trying to fight the system would have actually been better spent helping that child directly most of the time. Every once in a while, I've seen where groups of families will band together to do it to make lasting change for the school, which is awesome. But more times than not, it ends up going into what are called like settlements. And you have to sign a non-disclosure saying what the settlement is. You can't tell any of the other parents what you did to get there. And then they just end up paying or reimbursing for services to get that child help. It doesn't actually change the system. Yes, it's frustrating. I've seen it many times. I've sat with so many lawyers, more than I would like. It's a reason I'm not a professional advocate, because I kind of hate them. Not hate the lawyers, but hate the whole process. And it's just something that's so frustrating. And we know so many kids need help, and we know so many of them are not getting the help that they need at school. It's funny, people think that when they know my job as a dyslexia therapist, they think I must just work all afternoon, and, you know, I have my mornings off. That is absolutely not true. Most days I work 7 or 8:30 in the morning all the way until about 7 o'clock at night. I work 4 really long days and my mornings are not empty. My mornings are filled with kids whose schools don't know how to support them. So they come to me before school. They come to me for the first couple hours of the school day, and I am their reading instruction instead of going to reading at school. There's homeschool kids that the schools didn't know how to support them, so the parents decided to homeschool them, and then I'm the reading instructor. And there's kids all the way from the East Coast that I Zoom with in the early afternoons. So my entire day is full of kids because there are so many schools that don't know how to help our kids with dyslexia, and it's really sad. But it's the state of where we are right now. So the moral of the story is kids can get diagnosed with dyslexia as early as late kindergarten, early first grade a lot of times. I say late kindergarten because you got to give them a chance to like try to learn at school and see how that goes. But there are so many things you can see in a child before they actually learn to read. And there are so many symptoms that doesn't matter whether actually they're looking at a piece of paper or not. So just a couple of those things that you can see really early on. They struggle with things like learning to tie their shoes. That ability to remember the steps in the right order, often a sign of dyslexia. Left-handedness. I can't even count the number of left-handed kids I've taught since I started working with kids with dyslexia. There's a much higher incidence of left-handedness. That's why it's actually a question on some of the forms for diagnosing learning differences is what handed are they? Because it's actually pretty interesting that they often learn a little different if they're left-handed. The little ones can't do any rhyming. So when it's that cute little age when they do patty cake and all that other silly little things, they don't know how to rhyme. They will say that pan and stamp will rhyme. They don't hear the difference in the sounds. And so that's another way that you can notice. They're really late to learn their letters and their letter sounds. That's another characteristic of dyslexia. And there are several more that diagnosticians can go more in depth in. So things like phonemic awareness and rapid automatic naming and a few other things. So just remember, it is easier to get a diagnosis when kids are younger than what you might think. But where you go to get that diagnosis generally has to be somewhere you private pay for. Sometimes there are places with sliding scales or places that accept financial aid. I know that there's one of the centers near me that works with Medi-Cal, and so you can get services through them if you are somebody who qualifies for those kinds of services through the state. So there are options out there. So be sure to look into those because sometimes you can qualify for more support than you think because the cost of testing is crazy expensive, like thousands of dollars, which is why so many people don't get the testing done, which is why so many kids don't get the support that they need as early as they could get it. Because remember, early diagnosis means early intervention. Interventions take significantly less long when a kid is little compared to when they're older. I can often get a kindergarten or first grader right up to grade level or above within a year, versus if I've got a kid coming in at fourth or fifth grade below grade level, it takes at least 2 or 3 years to catch a kid who's 2 or 3 years behind. And so you can't just expect miracles the second you get a diagnosis. So if you can get that support sooner, that is that golden time where the kids have so much more neuroplasticity. They are little sponges that suck everything up, and they don't have that built-in hatred of school because it hasn't been so hard for so long. They have a little bit more resiliency because they haven't been going through the struggles for as long. Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap it up for today. The recap of our day is kids can get diagnosed with dyslexia as young as kindergarten and first grade. Most of the time, kids will not get diagnosed until they're in second grade or above in a public school system because they have to show that they are significantly behind grade level to qualify for services. Oftentimes, kids who get diagnosed when they are really little, it's often because they have a sibling who has a learning difference that's already been diagnosed, so parents and families know what to look for earlier. Or if there's a history of dyslexia in the family, so I, for example, have a friend who is very dyslexic as an adult, so when his kids were little, he right away got them tested for dyslexia because he knows he's severely dyslexic, therefore the odds of his children being dyslexic is very high as well. So he got them tested right away at a very young age to get them support because odds were pretty much in his favor that that's what they were going to get. So kids can get diagnosed a little younger when they go through an outside source such as a neuropsychologist, and testing is incredibly expensive. So look into services in your area that might have reduced fees or sliding scale or qualify for state services and funding that way because there are options out there. And then lastly, remember, not everybody requires a diagnosis. So I have many kids who come to me before their diagnosis is done or even before they've done the testing because I know early intervention is better And the sooner we can help kids, the better we can help kids. So keep in mind, it is never too early to start interventions. It is better to catch them when they're young and little happy sponges compared to when they're bitter, grumpy children who've been so frustrated at school for so many years. It's a lot harder to get through to them. That is it for today. If you have any questions about dyslexia and learning differences, remember you can always send me a message. There's a contact form on my website, parnelloeducation.com, or you can find Parnello Education on social media, or you can always email me as well, lisa@parnelloeducation.com. All right, that's it. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you want to learn even more about dyslexia, check out parnelloeducation.com/courses. See you next time.